Welcome to the Black Moon Lilith Rising podcast. The energy of the dark feminine is rising. Are you ready to reclaim your power? Understand the power of the dark mother of creation in astrology, Lilith. It's time for the world to recognize the power of dark feminine energy and how you can use it to heal, transform, and create the magic in your own life.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Black Moon Lilith Rising podcast. I'm, of course, your host, Adama, and today we are going to talk about Pluto in Aquarius. This is one of the most important transits of this year, so this is an extremely important episode, and I, of course, wanted to dedicate a whole episode to Pluto. It's my ruling planet as a Scorpio. I've learned to really integrate and love Pluto in my own life. And so during this broadcast, we're going to break down exactly what this transit means, how you can use it in your own life, what it means on a societal level, what it means on a historical, global level, a collective level. So this is going to be chock full of important information that you need to know for the next 20 years. That's right. This transit is about 20 years long. And the last time Pluto changed signs was back in 2008. We had Pluto move into Capricorn. So before I get started on this extremely rare and exciting transit, I have a few announcements. I invite you to join Black Moon Lilith Collective. There you can watch premium horoscopes. And I currently have a special going on. Just $20 off either your first month or the entire year if you are really a fan of Black Moon Lilith Rising. And also in the community, I do all of my bi sign horoscopes, premium horoscopes, new moon, full moon horoscopes for the specific signs. And there you can access this type of content. So if you really love what you hear on this podcast episode about Pluto in Aquarius, and you want to know, what can I expect for my zodiac sign? What can I expect for myself? I invite you to join the tribe, and there you can access my premium horoscope where I walk you through each of the 12 zodiac signs and what each can expect from this transit. So this podcast episode is just a collective episode. I love to do the collective, mundane, and general. Mundane not meaning boring, but mundane meaning historical and societal events. That's what it means in astrology. So I love doing that as a service for everyone to listen to for free and to understand what's in store for them. But I dive even deeper in our community with those premium horoscopes. And not to mention, there's hundreds of hours of meditations, workshops, programs that are built to help you with things like manifestation, shadow work, alchemy, human design, tarot. There's a lot in store. We have different contributors. It's amazing. So click on the links in the podcast show notes and you can add a $20 off coupon to your cart for either your first month or for the entire year. Or you can enter the code LilithTribe20 at checkout. So you can visit lilithastrology.com to find out more. I have a whole video that discusses the tribe. And there's so much more on the website. So I encourage you to go check that out and take advantage of this offer. And also, I announced this in the last podcast episode, but I'm going to keep announcing new book stuff every episode in case there's new listeners or people who don't know. But yes, I've spent the past year writing two offerings. We have Black Moon Lilith Rising, How to Unlock the Power of the Dark Divine Feminine Through Astrology. This is a comprehensive book on Lilith through my lens and perspective, which it's very rare, you guys. You've been listening to me for a while, you know that. And Black Moon Lilith Cosmic Alchemy Oracle Cards, which is a 44-card oracle deck. And those two items are now on pre-sale. And you can find links to those on Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Waterstones in the show notes as well. And don't worry, we will be in independent bookstores. things are still rolling out. We're still even in the final phases of really getting things approved, getting things to print. So this is just a pre-sale right now. And you can check all of that out in the description box. And if you want to wait until we have more retailers announced as we get closer to the launch date in October of this year, you can totally do that. Or sign up for my email list on lilithastrology.com, because there not only will you get up to the minute announcements on the book, I email everyone every week. I don't overdo it, of course. It's probably like once a week, every other week. And then you also get news on what's happening with Lilith Astrology, what new horoscopes are out, etc. So join the list and you get a free gift, my Alchemist Guide to Black Moon Lilith, when you join, so you can get an intro into the Dark Goddess. So those are my announcements. I hope to see you all in Black Moon Lilith Collective, or I hope to see you all on your bookshelves, if that makes sense. That's all the announcements. And now let's get into Pluto in Aquarius. This is why we're all here today, and this is why you all turned on this podcast episode. So this is a rare transit, and we're really going to dive deep into what and who Pluto is in mythology, and what Aquarius is as a zodiac sign, and how this fits into our lives on this planet. So Pluto in Aquarius officially begins today. I'm filming this on March 23rd. I'm of course going to release this a couple days later from now, but Pluto is officially in Aquarius now. And this summer we will receive a preview of this energy. So it's so important for you guys to be aware of what goes on in your life. And I think I just do this now as an astrologer, that I'm always looking at the charts and understanding how these cycles work and seeing what events actually manifest and occur, because it can also tell me what's going to happen in the future. So it's so important for you all to really take a look at, when you are experiencing the summer, what am I focusing on? What is going on? Of course, also, if you get the premium horoscope, you'll know a little bit more about that. But this summer, we have a preview. Pluto moves into Aquarius from March 23rd until June 11th, 2023. So this is a little window we have this year of experiencing this transit. So be aware of what you focus on, what happens to you, where you're living, what you're doing, who you're with, because this is a preview of course, not the entire 20 years ahead, but it's a preview of some of the major themes for the next 20 years ahead. Pluto will then retrograde back into Capricorn after this date and will be there for the remainder of this year until January 21st, and then Pluto will go into Aquarius full time. We will not be going back into Capricorn after this date, and that will be until January 19th, 2044. So exactly 20 years. So just this alone, we are entering into literally a new entire reality, a new entire life, new perspectives. We are transforming entirely for these next 20 years. So transforming is a very common way that astrologers describe Pluto, and it is so true. Pluto is the planet of transformation, but Pluto is also associated with change, power, the unconscious mind. And Aquarius is a zodiac sign that is associated with innovation, technology, individuality. So when a planet moves into a zodiac sign, it affects the areas of life that that zodiac sign rules. Innovation, technology, all of this stuff is going to be completely transformed, because that is the sign of Aquarius. So Pluto moving to Aquarius is going to activate all the things that Aquarius rules. So therefore, during this transit, we will see change and transformation in technology, science, our social structures. We are going to see the rise of new social, political, rebellious movements, and we are all going to be challenging power structures on a global level, but then power structures and hierarchy that we built up in our own minds and within our own lives. And Pluto in Capricorn had really been breaking down and showing us a lot of that since 2008. So now Pluto in Aquarius is coming to actually now take action to all of those things that you have integrated and learned since 2008. So on a personal level, this may bring up the need to rebel, to really activate who you are as an individual, what you want, your freedom, your personal power. And a lot of you are going to be making changes to really align with who you truly are, like who you uniquely are. We are also really getting ushered and triggered into an Aquarian age. So many astrologers have different opinions and studies on when the Aquarian age actually starts. Many believe it started. Some believe it began back in the Industrial Revolution when Pluto moved into Aquarius last time. We're going to touch upon the history with that. But then some believe that it's 100 years away and we are basically on a trajectory towards it. And Pluto in Aquarius is really going to trigger us into it. And really, you'll start to visibly see Aquarian ideals and really see our world completely transforming into this new age. So I think the best way to really dive deeper into this transit is to first talk about Pluto as a planet. And like I said, I'm a Scorpio. Pluto rules over my zodiac sign, and I've come to make peace and love Pluto. Pluto is, he's really, and I say he because he was a male deity in mythology, he really is just doing his job. That's the thing. So let's get into Pluto, right? So in astrology, Pluto is a generational planet. And like I said, of course, it is associated with transformation and power and the unconscious, regeneration, but it is actually one of the most intense and powerful planets, even though there's back and forth as to whether Pluto is even a planet. And Pluto in size is extremely tiny. Don't quote me on this, but I'm pretty sure Pluto is the smallest, besides comets, but they're not considered planets. It's the smallest dwarf planet, or however they want to classify it now at this point. It packs a punch. Like if you've ever been through a Pluto transit, any of the astro buffs listening right now, you know, okay, like there's no, let's just even take 2020, okay? In January 2020, Saturn and Pluto formed a connection in Capricorn, okay? That's the pandemic, right? For lack of a better way to like, you know, explain it, it just be straightforward. I'm not going to say it triggered the pandemic, but Pluto had his hand in that. So this is the power of Pluto. Pluto is the ruler of the zodiac sign Scorpio and is associated with sex, death, and rebirth. And it's also linked with the eighth house in astrology that also has to do with those areas of life, shared resources, sex, intimacy, the taboo, the occult, witchcraft is a very big part of the eighth house and Pluto energy. So of course, Scorpio is part of that as well. So you're getting the gist, right? You're getting the gist. And when we think about the mythology behind Pluto, Pluto was the lord of the underworld. So Pluto, which also he happened to be the most wealthy. People think of Jupiter as the most wealthy and expansive. And yes, it's completely true. But Pluto, he was a lord of the underworld and he was very quiet. He had no children. He was very quiet about his wealth. But he rules over hidden wealth, inheritances, debts, loans, plutonic wealth. This is generational wealth. So whereas Jupiter is like, oh, yo, you won the lottery super quick, or, oh, you got this boost at work, or, oh, you got this, you know, influx of $1 million, like you got lucky. Pluto, it's a slow, steady, stable build when it comes to resources, and it rules like mega wealth. Because when you think about the underworld, there was all the gems and just hidden diamonds and stones and things that are hidden beneath the surface of the earth, Pluto rules over and had dominion of and owned. So this is why Pluto was the silent rich auntie, I guess you could say, of the planets. But Pluto was a male deity. But what's really interesting is Pluto does have some dark feminine energy. Pluto rules over Scorpio. It's a feminine water sign, a dark feminine water sign, regardless of gender. Pluto had dark feminine energy. And when we even take a look at other dark feminine figures like Kali Ma or Hecate, or we can even take a look at Lilith, they're very akin to the vibe of Pluto and what Pluto is all about. Internal transformation, alchemy, change, destruction, sex, death, magic, the intuition, psychic ability. And I get chills just when I said that. So, so Pluto is associated with the theme of loss as well. We've got the Lord of the Underworld, ushering in the souls from above ground or from the living and into the dead. And it's not like with, you know, people like to do fear tactics with some of these malefic planets and these deities. But Pluto, like I said, like Pluto's just doing his job. It's not like he was like, oh, I'm evil and everyone's gonna burn in the underworld. No, he was doing his job and ushering in souls and helping people transform, being that dark figure that dealt with the taboo sides of life. Pluto is associated with loss, transformation, and you can also experience ego deaths under a Pluto transit. On a collective level, Pluto is also associated with the cycles of history and the rise and fall of empires and civilizations. This is why a lot of us made a big deal about the Pluto return when the United States was triggered into revolution and really was like, we are rebelling, we're signing the Declaration of Independence, we're done. And Pluto can trigger a lot of these major societal changes. We can take a look at Pluto and Scorpio. It's horrific what some of the things that went on during Pluto and Scorpio. This is 1983 to 1995. And we had crises like the HIV/AIDS epidemic. Got chills with saying that as well. Pluto in Sagittarius is after that. And we had 9/11, which completely transformed the world. And you can think about Pluto in Sagittarius means attack, global war. Sagittarius rules global. That's what happened. That was like a big catalyst. Prior to that, with Pluto and Scorpio, Scorpio rules over death. Pluto was in its home sign. It rules over viruses. Scorpio rules over sex and the genitals and the procreation organs. So Pluto can really affect society in major ways. And again, like I said, if you've never paid attention to Pluto transits, you don't understand the power of Pluto. Pluto might be small, but Pluto packs a punch. So now let's talk about the zodiac sign Aquarius. And Aquarius is the 11th sign of the zodiac. So we can talk about Aquarius like as if it's in a person's chart and on a personal level. And then we can just talk about the energy, like the overall energy of Aquarius. So I'm going to do both so you can really get a sense of what Aquarian energy is. So they're the 11th sign and they are a fixed air sign. Fixed meaning they are very steady and straightforward with their speech and their opinion and how they think. Air is a cerebral energy. Air is about intellect and logic. So this is why Aquarians, y'all can have a little bit of stubborn energy. especially when it comes to social justice or your opinion or your values or what you really believe for the collective, you can get very passionate about that. For all the Aquarians that are listening, you are independent and unconventional. Aquarius value freedom and independence. This is why we're saying there's going to be a lot of rebellion against status quo during this time. And they often think outside the box and they're not afraid to do things their own way. Aquarius represents unique energy. It can represent black sheep energy where you don't quite fit in. But the reason why you don't fit in is because you're 20 years ahead of everyone else. So while everyone else is laughing at you, like, why are you doing that? In timeline 20 years from now, fast forward to, everyone is dressed and acting like you. This is Aquarius, right? I'm sure, again, these Aquarians that are listening are like, yeah, that's really interesting. They're often visionaries. You guys are visionaries. You're innovative. You're forward thinking. And you're always looking for new ways to change and approach life. Intelligence analysis is a big part of Aquarian energy. And now let's talk about on a collective level. Humanitarianism is a part of Aquarius energy. Aquarius rules over the collective, large groups, friends. This is why Aquarius are very social, depending on the whole chart. I always say that. But in its pure form, you're very social and detached, and you want to really have a large group of people, a large group of associates that you can contact, a lot of different connections that are not super deep, but they are essentially a network for you. That is where the comfort zone for Aquarius energy is. So this is why society now is going to go through a complete transformation, because Aquarius rules over society, science, technology. Innovation is a big part of Aquarius energy. So we are going to see changes in those areas. And you can already see this happening. Things like the internet. We literally have a complete transformation and destruction of tech. And we can see that. Our digital currency is going to go through a huge transformation. Our regular currency, because Pluto is going to be forming a square to Uranus. Already have seen, we saw the banks, we saw the run on the bank, Silicon Valley. We are seeing just different changes with things like Bitcoin and crypto. Not only that, we are seeing protests globally, even in France. I'm going to mention France when we talk about historical events. It is, I'm not going to say it's really interesting that it's happening right now. It's actually the astrology, but France, they were increasing the retirement age 2 years. There was rioting and strikes against it. There has been globally, there have been different protests in especially authoritarian regime situations. So we have Iran and Afghanistan. Even there are nations in South America that are protesting against certain restrictions and difficulties with the government. In Africa, there are protests as well. This is a global thing, but you can just take a look at the news. So we are going to see more and more of this rebellion against these old systems, these old ways of being that were set in during the Industrial Revolution that now need to change. It's not sustainable. We are also going to see things like the rise of AI. I think we are really going to see the way we engage with social media, it's very Aquarian, completely transform. And it's going to be more about the individual creators and really more freedom when it comes to the networks that we're on. We can see that with Twitter and what's going on there, TikTok, what's going on there, Facebook, Instagram, what's going on there. I don't need to explain even, because I'm sure a lot of you are very tapped in and at least know that those institutions are changing. And we are going to see that really ramp up during Pluto and Aquarius, especially this 3 months this year, and especially as we enter into the new year next year. So this is about innovation and change. So we are really stepping into the new age. for lack of a better term. Like, we are stepping into a new age, and not to describe the spiritual community like New Age does, but we are stepping into a new age. We are stepping into a more Aquarian age, a more egalitarian age, but things are going to have to break down and shift first. And that is going to be what this 20 years is all about. All right. So now let's get into some of the history behind this transit. So Pluto takes approximately 248 years to move through the entire zodiac. So this is why this is such a big deal and why Pluto really has an effect on society. And it takes around 12 to 30, 31 years. It depends on the zodiac sign to move through one sign. This time it's taking 20 to move through Aquarius. And historically, the last time Pluto was in Aquarius was from 1777 to 1797. So if you're in tapped in with just general history, you know that America was in a deep revolution. France was in a deep revolution. Haiti was in a deep revolution. Everybody was in a revolution. And colonialism, exploitation, war, genocide was top of mind during this time. And these things are happening now. You know, they're happening now. So the Industrial Revolution was from 1733, so a little earlier. So during we had Pluto in Capricorn back then. A lot of the spark for the revolution happened during Pluto and Capricorn. That's what we're under, or we were under, since 2008. And it went until 1913. And the Industrial Revolution was literally what set the structure and tone for our society today, our capitalist society that is really built on slave labor. And now at this point, obviously, there are people who are underpaid and overworked and abused and exploited in the United States, but now it has moved globally. And especially in countries like Africa, like the children who are mining for what's in our phones, that is all a product of the Industrial Revolution. So it's essentially factories, conveyor belts, when they had that technology. Assembly lines, the cotton gin, all of these things were developed during this time. And that really set the stage for modern society in the 20th and 21st century. So in the period of around 1760 to 1830, the Industrial Revolution was actually mostly in Britain, who spearheaded all the colonialism, slave labor exploitation back then. And basically, they wanted to get their head start. And as a result, they actually forbade the export of machinery, skilled workers, and manufacturing techniques for a while, from 1760 to 1830, so that they could really hoard all the wealth and knowledge from other nations. So that happened back then. Sounds very familiar to what's right now, except we have corporations doing that. 1777, the American Revolution continues, and the British captured Philadelphia, and then we also had the Battle of Saratoga, which allowed the Americans to secure victory over the British. Another thing that I thought was really important, that the first volume of The Wealth of Nations by the economist Adam Smith back then was first published, and this laid the foundation for modern economics. So again, during Pluto and Aquarius, he wrote this guide, this framework that was going to be used for the next couple of hundred years. So that was really also a change in our money and our finances and the economy because of that This is very Aquarian because of writing that book and delineating that knowledge. 1778, Captain James Cook became the first European to reach the Hawaiian Islands. Colonialism, peak colonialism there. So that also was a big part of Pluto and Aquarius. 1781, the American Revolution continues and the British surrendered. And then the United States officially formed under the Articles of Confederation that year. Shortly after, we had the Treaty of Paris in 1783 that ended the American Revolution and recognized the independence of the United States. And also, really interesting, the first hot air balloon flight takes place in France, marking a major milestone in aviation history. So this is the precursor to the Wright brothers, and that was early 1900s. But we, of course, have to have one person set a precedence so then other people can improve on it and change it. So air flight in a hot air balloon became a reality. Something flying in the air that must have been wild to see back then when literally they were using horses most of the time. 1787, the Constitutional Convention was held in Philadelphia, drafting of the United States Constitution. But also that year, the abolition movement gained momentum. So here we go. During Pluto and Aquarius, the abolitionist movement gained momentum. Pluto in Pisces is really when we start to see that ramp up, and obviously leading to the semi-freedom of enslaved people. It took a while for it to actually happen. But Pluto in Aquarius was that spark. So again, revolution against really patriarchal, oppressive systems. 1789, we have the French Revolution then beginning. So the American came to an end. Well, it resolved, but then we had the French Revolution in 1789, and that began with the storming of the Bastille in Paris. So this was a violent start. This was pure rebellion, and they had enough of the tyranny and the thoughtlessness of the monarchy that existed back then. They were tired of not receiving what they are worth. They were tired of, they were going hungry. They didn't have any food. They weren't being taken care of by their government. And the government was hoarding all the wealth and all the money. Sounds familiar right now, right? Sounds familiar. But that happened in 1789. We have the Bill of Rights in 1791 that was added, guaranteeing freedom for some people if you were a white landowning man. So let's clarify that. And another really interesting fact that I read is Mozart's opera, The Magic Flute, premiered in Vienna. And while that seems like a small thing, I do want to also remind you guys that Pluto in Aquarius is also going to bring forth transformative creativity. And we are also really going to see that in this 3 months, because Black Moon Lilith is in Leo in opposition to Pluto. And it happens every 9 years, the mean calculation of Black Moon Lilith returning to a sign. So this is going to be the first burst of that. And we are going to see really transformative breakout creativity. But back then, Mozart was like the Beyonce of back then, of the music world. And this was a very transformative opera. So I want to pause for a second, because you probably are like, why is there all this like European history? This is how hijacked those times were by colonialism. Like literally this time it was about imperialism with the British, world domination. And a lot of the history is about them taking and doing and extracting. Mozart is outside of that. That's just culture. But that was what this time was about. And people rebelling against that. But what's interesting is the rebellions, everybody was rebelling. Whether you were white or if you were Black and enslaved or Indigenous, they were all fighting, especially in America. So in 1792, the first French Republic was declared. So, and then King Louis the 14th was executed the next year. And then also really, really interesting, the Haitian Revolution begins also in 1792 with the enslaved people rising up against their French colonial masters. Some say with the help of some voodoo, but they rose up and they won. 1793, the Reign of Terror in the French Revolution starts and thousands of people are executed by the government. And we also have the cotton gin was patented during this year in 1793 by Eli Whitney. And unfortunately, this revolutionized the cotton industry in the South, but it also fueled slavery and the Industrial Revolution even more. So while it was true that the cotton gin reduced the labor of removing seeds, it did not reduce the need for enslaved labor to grow and pick the cotton. So cotton growing became so profitable that they increased their demand for both land and enslaved labor. In 1790, there were 6 slave states. And then in 1860, there were 15. So this ramped it up. And 1790, Congress did ban from 1790 until Congress banned the slave trade from Africa in 1808, Southerners imported 80,000 Africans. And yeah, so this ramped up. This innovation, this technology ramped up the Industrial Revolution and more oppression and slavery. So, and then there was also, it's a controversial patent because they say that he actually stole this from enslaved people and basically learned about it on a plantation. I won't get into that, but yeah, it's like these innovations back then, there was a mixed bag. Like, it was affecting some people in a positive way, but others, it was oppressing them and enslaving them. All right. So as we round out the Pluto and Aquarius transit history, in 1796, the British evacuated their troops from India. So this is another territory that they colonized in their imperialism. And this marked the direct rule over the country in 1796. Obviously, there were struggles after that, like everywhere else that they took over. And in 1796, the first successful smallpox vaccine was developed by Edward Jenner. So this is a science innovation. And what's really interesting is he saw that like dairy maids were not getting smallpox, and it's because they were catching cowpox. They were dairy cow maids and they were catching cowpox, which gave them immunity to the more horrific smallpox. 1796 was when that was developed. And then George Washington ends his reign as the first president. But you can see the theme with some of these historical events. So Pluto is here to transform society through technology, innovation, scientific discovery, the breaking down of these old systems that are no longer serving us, that are enslaving many people. And I know I can sit here in America and I'm not in those enslaved situations, but there are people across the world who are. Child labor, child slavery, sex trafficking. Not to mention, let's just even take America for a moment. When you think about a lot of the factories that are here and people have, like the Amazon, people have to pee in bottles and they're not allowed humanity, essentially. We had the Great Resignation in 2020, 2021. This is when we're at the end of the Pluto and Capricorn era. People being like, enough's enough. I'm not being paid enough. I'm not valued. This doesn't feel right to me. And people, a lot of people, and they still are, were saying no to things and work and positions that don't align with them anymore. So this is a big transit, everyone. So if you do want to know what is in store for your specific zodiac sign, so of course, if you listen to me for a while, you know, I do my horoscopes based on the rising sign. All astrologers do, but I want to tell you guys that, and call it out so that you know to look for your rising sign when you read or watch a horoscope. If you want to know, don't miss out and join a Black Moon Lilith Collective. There you can access that premium episode and get all 12 signs and what's in store for you when Pluto moves into Aquarius. So that is the collective energy on a very important transit that we are now under the influence of. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see you on the next episode.